A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. It was evening on the day Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the second Sunday in Easter. It is also designated as Divine Mercy Sunday. Not that this Sunday is revealing God's divine mercy any more than any other Sunday or at any other time in Jesus' life. But it is designated here to remind us of God's mercy that is with us at all times. But it is also showing us that there is something slightly different taking place in this passage, and that how essential God's divine mercy is for us. In order to appreciate what is taking place then in this exchange with Jesus, with his apostles, we have to go back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry with his disciples. If we look at the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, we're left with the impression that possibly Jesus' public ministry lasted more or less a year and a bit. But in John's Gospel, the Gospel that was proclaimed today, John gives us the impression that Jesus' public ministry was more or less 3 years, considerably longer. And within that time frame, there would have been people who would have followed Jesus and would fall away from Jesus. Those who first were really caught on fire with his message and then later realized the cost of discipleship, the challenges and the difficulties. And so they would walk away. But by the time we get to Jesus' death and resurrection. There is a core group of disciples, men and women, and also then even a finer group of apostles. Now these individuals, they didn't just know about Jesus and weren't just taught by Jesus, they lived with him. They knew him inside and out. He taught them, instructed them, befriended them, encouraged them, challenged them, and he loved them. To the end, he loved them. And they in turn looked at Jesus as not just a wise teacher or a profound prophet. They saw him as a friend, and even more importantly, they saw him as a brother. And they would tell Jesus over and over again, "We will lay down our life for you. We will follow you wherever. Nothing is going to stand between you and us being your followers. We want to help you bring your kingdom to fruition in this world." Jesus believed them. And they truly did believe these words they were speaking, because they weren't just coming from their minds. It was coming from their heart and their soul. And then we have Good Friday. At this moment, they are coming into Jerusalem really prepared to bring about the kingdom of God. And then things go sideways terribly. Jesus is arrested and will be executed. And where are they? His disciples? Those who swore to love him to the end, who swore they would follow him, that they would defend him, that they would lay down their own lives for him? I don't know who you are talking about. Never heard of him. To the point that they would curse and swear they do not know the man. Fear had gripped them. They saw this force coming against them, and it had taken Jesus, and they were powerless to do anything about it because they had a choice to make. Do we follow Jesus as we said, or do we preserve our lives? They chose the latter. We will continue to live. Some way, somehow. And so Jesus is taken away, and they are now racked with fear, but now they have to deal with their guilt and their shame and how humiliated they feel. So we find these disciples in this upper room, the same upper room where they celebrated their Last Supper with Jesus. It was here that Jesus says to them, "See this bread? This bread is my body. It is broken." And he breaks it in front of them and says to them, "As often as you do this, you remember me, and I am present there with you. Because just as I'm going to allow my body to be broken open so that others may live, I'm sharing my life with them. Freely I share my life. You too are to do the same. You are to become this bread, allowing yourself to be blessed by God, broken by God, shared with others, so that the kingdom of God may be realized." In that same upper room, he washes the feet of his disciples, and which is the action of a servant or a slave towards their master. And Jesus says to them, "Do you know what I have done to you. Not for you, but to you. By washing your feet, what I am saying to you, just as I am your Lord, and I have all this wisdom, all this power, I am prepared to humble myself before others so that their minds and their hearts may change, not through power or clever arguments, but through humility, kindness, and graciousness to others. I have done this to you so that you may do this to others as well. Carry on. In that same upper room, he gives them all this commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Selflessly, graciously, humbly, mercifully, I have loved you all to the very end. I held nothing back. I gave everything. You do the same. Carry on. And in this very same room, they are locked away. But what they have locked in this room, thinking they are safe from the authorities outside, they have locked in this room their fear, their guilt, their shame, and their humiliation. It's with them. They were a prisoner, not just in this room, but within their minds and within their hearts. This is now where God's divine mercy comes to them in a different way for them personally, so that they may carry on eventually. The door is locked, but divine mercy cannot be kept at bay by a locked door. Jesus stands among them, and the first words out of his mouth, "Peace be with you." Anyone else? It would have been, "Where were you, you liars, you cheats? You said you were my friend, that you were my brother, that you would lay down your life for me, that you believed in the kingdom of God, that you understood all this, that you would carry on what I am doing. You ran away, you deserted me, you betrayed me." That's not divine mercy. That's human anger, vengeance, bitterness. But divine mercy, peace be with you. Because what divine mercy does for us is this. It meets us where we are at. It is full of understanding and compassion for the other person. It does not judge or condemn or humiliate or belittle. Instead, it gives us the courage to look at where we are at and what we are going through. And this is what Jesus' words of peace be with you mean. My peace, God's peace is with you. Let it enter through your locked mind, your imprisoned heart, and help you to heal what you're so afraid of, what you're ashamed of, what you feel guilty about. I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to give you life. They may have been in that upper room planning a way to escape Jerusalem, maybe hide themselves among the crowd as the pilgrims are leaving the city and they can go back to their old way of living. But here's the thing. They may go back to their villages and to their families and to their friends, but they will still be prisoners in that upper room with fear, guilt, and shame. Not until it is dealt with, not until it's addressed, will they be truly free. So there is Jesus looking at them. Peace be with you. When he shows them the wounds in his hands, it says, then they rejoiced in seeing Jesus. He's alive and well. What they realize in that moment isn't that it was a nightmare, but that it was all true. He said, I will rise from the dead. No one and no thing can keep me down. I will rise from the dead, and I will conquer all forms of death and sin. And the ones that they were dealing with right now, the sins of guilt, fear, shame, and humiliation, he wants them to be freed from it. It's essential for them to be freed from it. And then he breathes on them. Receive God's Spirit. God's Spirit doesn't fix us. It encourages us to continue on. Through the courage that is given to us, it also gives us the encouragement not to give up, to carry on. So, what happens next is Thomas. He returns back to the group, and they tell him he has risen from the dead. He's alive. And Thomas says, this is impossible. I won't believe it unless I can do this. I can see the nails and marks in his hand, and I can put my fingers in there and my whole hand in his side. I won't believe it. In many respects, what Thomas is doing here is that he's setting up such a scenario that it's virtually impossible for it to happen. So he doesn't have to deal with his guilt or his shame. But 8 days later, there he is again. Jesus enters their room, the same upper room, but this time the door isn't locked. It's a small detail. It's not locked. Which means that they have allowed God's Spirit to slowly work within them. They're no longer as afraid as they once were. They're also working through their guilt and through their shame. They're a bit more alive now. Not just living, but they are becoming more fully alive. And he says to them again, peace be with you. Divine mercy isn't just something we receive once. It is constantly and consistently given to us. But it's not imposed. It is an unmerited free gift. We don't deserve it, but we certainly need it. Jesus then turns to Thomas and says, Thomas, look at my wounds. Put your hand in my side. And at that moment, Thomas goes, oh my God, it's you, my Lord, my Savior. I'm so sorry you are alive. Is it not curious that Jesus repeats the very words to Thomas that Thomas says to the other group, the other disciples, when Jesus wasn't there? What this says to us is divine mercy is always present to us and knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. Jesus' words to Thomas were not meant to belittle or humiliate him, but they were again encouragement. Because he says to Thomas, to the other disciples, and to us today, that in order for you to continue my mission, it's great that you can see me, but there'll be countless millions who will never see me in the flesh, never hear my voice, but you have the honor and the privilege to hear this. So when you go out into the world and you speak of me and you live as I lived in the world, Allow this divine mercy to teach you to be patient and understanding with others. Do not rush them. Do not place demands on them. Do not guilt them or bully them or manipulate them. No, divine mercy is always compassionate understanding. It is gracious in the offer and will try to help people to come to understand who God is in them and what this divine mercy will help them, those future disciples, as it helped the disciples back then in that upper room, is that it takes time. It is a process to coming to deal with our own guilt, our own shame. It is essential that when we deal with it, we work through it, we unlock our minds and our hearts, and we freely walk out into the light of the world alive, fully alive. So my friends, the gift of divine mercy is offered to us. Let us accept it graciously. For this is our God, who is with us always.